This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big news out of Congress today. We'll talk about that. Chip Roy is going to join us. How involved was the CIA in Ukraine before this whole war thing? All that, trouble for Biden, and so much more coming up on I'm Right. I swear to you, I am not a cynical person or a Debbie Downer. All right, I swear to you, I'm not. I'm not. I'm really genuinely not. But let's have a talk about what happened today that has many people celebrating, and understandably so. In case you just woke up, which it would be awfully late in the day, but in case you just woke up, Mitch McConnell, the current Senate minority leader, stepped up to the podium and announced he's stepping down in November from leadership.
Believe me, I know the politics within my party at this particular moment in time. I have many faults. Misunderstanding politics is not one of them. So as I've been thinking about when I would deliver some news to the Senate, I always imagined a moment when I had total clarity and peace about the sunset of my work. A moment when I'm certain I have helped preserve the ideals I so strongly believed. That day arrived today.
Okay, let's set aside the whole speech he just tried to give there. They all do the same thing. These bloodsuckers going to Washington, D.C. for 20, 30 years. You can't get them out of office with a crowbar until they're half dead or glitching out on camera the way Mitch McConnell has several times. And finally, once they've lost control of the last tiny little thread of power they were clinging to, they step up to the podium and announce that they're riding off into the sunset doing their duty for America after fighting for the country for far too long. I'll get bent. Mitch McConnell just got done. He just got done like 5 minutes ago trying to guarantee amnesty into law. I'm not going to let this go. Sorry. As long as we're doing the swan song legacy thing of Mitch McConnell, I want to make sure everyone remembers the deal spearheaded by Mitch McConnell, we now know, that the Senate GOP tried to get through behind closed doors. It was a massive handout to every foreign country on earth, Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan. And of course, the trade-off was going to be they were going to secure the border. And then we dug into it and we found out that the border deal guaranteed amnesty for millions of people. In fact, it guaranteed millions more could flood into the country, and that's the Mitch McConnell deal. Mitch McConnell's legacy may be a mixed bag overall, but what Mitch McConnell has done, especially over the last few years, is give aid and comfort to the enemy repeatedly, cobbling together a minority of loser Republicans to join with Democrats to pass damaging bill after damaging bill after damaging bill. Do I need to remind you, right after the House GOP took control during the midterms, admittedly a small majority, but they took control after the midterms, Mitch McConnell quickly worked with Democrats to pass a massive $1 trillion-plus bill. Why? Because he was worried the GOP might actually demand some spending cuts. So before the new GOP House could be sworn in, he immediately worked with Democrats to get more Democrat priorities through. So no, Mitch, you don't get to do that thing today. Well, after years of faithful service, I'll get bent. Goodbye. Good riddance. Now, back to me not being cynical. Let's have a talk. Because there's the story, and then there's the story behind the story. Mitch McConnell has been in Senate leadership for a long time, whether he's the majority leader or minority leader. And let's chat about that. Those positions are extremely powerful positions. They're more powerful than the average American realizes until you start studying it and talking to people in Congress and learning about the guts of Congress. You think that this senator and this senator in leadership, that they're kind of equal, right? I mean, sure, the guy in leadership has a little more power, but they're kind of equal. And no, that's not the case. When it comes to what bills will even be voted on, when it comes to the power of all the endless lobbying cash and PAC money, the difference in power between Senate leadership and the others is down here. It's a wide gap, all right? So how does one get into leadership? How does one achieve the status of a Mitch McConnell type who's carried a big stick in Washington, D.C. for a very long time? Well, it's really not complicated. If you want to get in Senate leadership, you will prove, A, to all the sucking demons in Washington, D.C., the soul-sucking monsters there, you have to prove to them that you're a team player after all. Hey, we can't have a shutdown, guys. You see all those people now? You have to prove to them, of course, that you're going to go along to get along. We don't want to change things, right? Hey, you're not one of those guys who wants to change things. You have to prove to them you don't want to change things. And B, you have to be a fundraising juggernaut. And so that leads me to being Mr. Cynical here. I'm happy Mitch McConnell's leaving. You're happy Mitch McConnell's leaving. Have your moment. Cheer, yell, woohoo, life is good. Okay, I'm happy, you're happy, everyone's happy, we're all happy. The list of potential replacements is really bad. It is. Yes, there is a chance a more conservative upstart like Rick Scott can mount some sort of a revolution within the Senate GOP and maybe take over. That's probably about the best we could hope for. But the truth is, there have been a couple guys who've been gunning for this leadership spot for a long time, sucking up to Mitch McConnell, proving to the D.C. swamp that they're team players, of course, that they'll play ball. And those two names are John Cornyn, he's much less likely, and John Thune. John Thune. John Thune from the blood red state. John Thune, who should have been primaried forever ago. But of course he's handsome and speaks very well on TV. So the moron GOP primary voter goes out and votes for him every time. John Thune's probably going to be our next Senate minority or majority leader. John Thune, who can't even defend your gun rights without talking about prairie dogs.
In my state, They use them to shoot prairie dogs and, you know, other types of varmints. And so I think that there are legitimate reasons why people would want to have them. And I think the challenge you have already is that there are literally millions of them available in this country.
I think there are legitimate reasons. Who asked you? It's not about what you think. I have rights, and they're not subject to anything you think. Not Democrats, not Republicans, nobody. My rights come from God. Those rights include being able to defend myself. But again, another one of these DC swamp rats who always thinks your rights are up for debate, of course, and can never just go out there and boldly defend you and your rights, has to make it about prairie dogs. Yet another low-T GOP loser going to take over the GOP Senate. So pardon me if I'm not excited. And look, this is how it happens, because the good guys don't want to be in leadership. They don't want to become part of the DC swamp. They don't want to do the kind of fundraising it takes to fund the party, to buy the favors you need to get into leadership. I mean, look, you're not going to get a Josh Hawley in there. Senator, are you going to be in leadership soon? I totally agree. Our leadership really, really sucks in the Senate. The House is a little bit better. But are we going to see a move to kind of replace some of this old guard that's let us down time and time again?
Well, it's not going to be me.
Not going to be me. Okay. So it is what it is. Look, we asked Senator Ron Johnson, another one of the good ones. You're going to be in there. No, it's not going to be me. So the good guys don't want to run. They don't want to go through it. It is what it is. So, welcome to Minority Leader John Thune. It is what it is. All right. Hunter Biden. Let's move on to that because I want to get to this with Chip. Hunter Biden has been stonewalling Congress for a long time. Hunter Biden finally gave a behind-closed-doors testimony today to the House of Representatives. Of course, Hunter gave the old line, the line that sadly much of the GOP has parroted. I did not involve my father in my business. Not while I was a practicing lawyer, not in my investments or transactions, domestic and international, not as a board member, and not as an artist. Never. That cracks me up. He still calls himself an artist. Well, obviously, as you know, you watch the show, it's not Hunter's business. Hunter doesn't have a business. Hunter has nothing to sell, no expertise of any kind. The only thing Hunter could ever sell as a cracked-out 50-some-year-old loser is access to his powerful father. Hunter never had a business. Joe has a business. Let's talk to Chip about that. Joining me now, a great congressman from the state of Texas, Chip Roy, was involved in this Hunter deposition today, although he is extremely limited in what he's allowed to say. So Chip, I'm gonna do what's very difficult for me, and I'm gonna be delicate. I'm gonna be really, really delicate here, and I'm just gonna kind of open up the floor. I know you're only allowed to say a few things. You were there, we were not. Knowing that, what can you tell us about the Hunter stuff today?
Yeah, well, first, great to be on. And we're gonna, quickly, I just wanna say some prayers for some of the people in the panhandle in Texas. There's some pretty bad fires up there. So we're all thinking about them, even though we're up here in the swamp trying to fight for them. And look, I can't get into the specifics. Unlike my Democrat colleagues who are all too happy to go to the camera and frankly break House rules. We have specific House rules about not talking about a deposition while you're in the middle of it. But I can say, I think, which is important to say, is that, you know, nothing that has been problematic has changed, right? We still know that we had $15 to $20 million, a significant amount of money flowing into the Biden family. We know that this is money coming in from foreign sources. We still don't have answers on things like the exact amount of money flowing through and to Hunter Biden for a sports car from dubious sources connected to his work involving, the work in the Middle East and work involved Ukraine and so forth. And so you've got all of these issues that we're dealing with. And you've got issues like, for example, the big guy, right? That's probably the most well-known issue in terms of the way he referred to his dad. And there's still no good answers on any of that. So without getting into the specifics of it, all of those issues that we've been made aware of, they all still exist. And I think that will continue to be made clear. Democrats are going to try to say again still that there's no there. But the fact is, all of those things, those are still there.
Chip, can you tell us, and I'm not specifically talking about today, but at any point in this whole process, have we ever gotten an answer, even a lie, about what exactly the services or goods were they were sending that way in return to, as you said, $15, $20 million. That's a whole lot of cheddar. There are a lot of Americans who'd like that kind of money. Do we know, even a lie at this point? What were you selling?
Yeah, well, interesting. That may or may not have been the center point of a significant amount of conversation among many of us just now in a sort of private pull aside. Without getting into the specifics of the deposition, I'll just say we have no good answers on this. We have no good answers on any specific deliverables. We know that there is, you know, involvement in, you know, liquefied natural gas, ironically, given that the current President Biden is shutting down liquefied natural gas terminals and preventing us from being able to export that, which would obviously help Ukraine and frankly help our economy and minimize the use of coal around the world if they actually cared about CO2. But I digress. My point is, there's no real indication that there was deliverables on these kinds of things. So look, again, this is in the words of in the law, right? Res ipsa loquitur. That is a term that means the thing speaks for itself. What we see here before us, we know that this money flowed into the Biden world. We know that Hunter Biden was neck deep in it. We know that Joe Biden was present and around all of these conversations and dealings. At some point, you just know it when you see it. So we're going to keep having these conversations and, you know, and through the deposition, and then we'll see what happens over the next 24 hours at the end of
impeachment is not something I'm confident is going to happen. This Tom Suozzi or whatever his idiot name is, this Democrat just got sworn into the House today since Republicans, of course, once again joined with Democrats to bounce George Santos, so the majority's even slimmer. There's look, it's Chip, it's February, the end of February. We're not getting a Joe Biden impeachment, are we?
Well, you know, I'm not going to project one way or the other, but I will say, obviously, that is an enormous lift. We're in the middle of an election season for the people to be able to make a choice. But at the end of the day, if I were going to say that Joe Biden should be impeached, you don't have to go through all of the machinations of what we're having right now with respect to the very blatant and concerns of corruption involving Hunter. You can just simply look at exactly what he's done with respect to the border, right? We did impeach Alejandro Mayorkas appropriately. Of course, the buck stops with the president. And the president of the United States has completely abandoned his duty to secure this country. And he's endangering people like this young woman, Laken Riley, in Athens, Georgia, which, by the way, side note, did you see this jackass who's the mayor of Athens going around trying to blame Trump and everyone else when he's the guy that made it a sanctuary city? Like, I can't even put into words the extent to which these radical progressive Democrats are destroying our country. And these mealy-mouthed Republicans are just sitting back and letting it happen. We talk about defunding them. We never do it. We talk about holding them accountable. We won't do it. The Speaker of the House right now should be looking straight across to Chuck Schumer, the President of the United States, and saying, look, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a continuing resolution that triggers the caps, and you're going to get H.R. 2. We're going to send it over to you, and if you don't like it, you can shut the government down, and we'll see you in November. But no, we don't have the stones to do that. We're just going to sit back and say, thank you, sir, may I have another, like Kevin Bacon in Animal House.
Ugh, jeez. Okay, you know, speaking of Schumer, here was Schumer today.
Johnson tried to answer, and he made it clear he wants to do something on the border. But we made it clear to him, we can't tarry or the war could be lost. And second, we wanted to do border and have a tough, secure border plan, as we showed. We Democrats showed in the Senate. But he can't say, I won't do Ukraine until we get border. He's tried to do border for 6 months and couldn't come up with a single Democratic vote.
Okay, Chip, let's set aside the Ukraine border insanity. The meeting today, one, how badly are we going to get screwed out of Republicans and Democrats meeting in the White House? And two, the upcoming CR. We have not held the line once so far, so you're going to have to forgive me if I'm not overly hopeful, but please tell me I should be.
Well, my guess is what you're going to have is probably another two-week type CR, continuing resolution, which I oppose. I will vote against. I will go speak out against. We'll end up with numbers that are probably similar to the last CR where the Republicans are split down the middle. Last time it was 107 to 106. It'll be something close to that. A big block of Democrats. And yet again, we will move a piece of legislation that more Democrats that will vote for than Republicans will. But importantly, what we ought to do, and this is where it gets confusing, even though I oppose these short-term CRs, I do not oppose a CR through the end of the year that would trigger the caps. Because if we did that, we would hold defense and veterans flat and we would cut the non-defense bureaucracy by $70 billion. We would cut it by 10%. Now, that's not as far as you and I would go. But in this climate, if we can follow existing law that was passed under the CAPS deal last year on a bipartisan basis, which was weak, but it was CAPS, we should follow it, and then we should have a fight over finishing on the border by saying, look, guys, you want anything on Ukraine, you're not going to get it unless we deal with the border. You want any further spending on defense, you're not going to get it unless we deal with the border. If you want more, you know, and just go down that list. That's what we ought to do.
No. Congressman, keep fighting for us. I appreciate you, man. All right. Hey, all that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have so much more. Wait till you see this CIA Ukraine stuff. Well, whatever. Before we get to that, let's get to Lone Star Transfer. The timeshare you believe you're stuck with. You're not, but you think you are. You see, you think you are because timeshare companies lie. Eventually, everyone gets tired of their timeshare. They just kind of get done with it. Hey, I'm done. And they want to give it back. They want to let it go. But the timeshare company then tells you, sorry, you should have checked out paragraph 90. You're stuck for life. You're not stuck for life. Make one phone call. Lone Star Transfer will legally and permanently set you free from your timeshare. They put it in writing. They even guarantee it. They give you a time frame. This is a family business. Call them. 844-310-2646. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what's weird? The whole CIA Ukraine story. Have you been studying this at all? New York Times is even talking about this. Long before Putin crossed the border, it looks like the CIA was involved in Ukraine. Really, really involved. How involved? What is this story? Let's talk to Mike about it. Joining me now, Mike Benz. He is the executive director at the Foundation for Freedom Online. Okay, Mike, pretend like I just got here from the moon yesterday. Why is the CIA involved in Ukraine? What's happening here?
The CIA has been involved in Ukraine for a very long time, but most sort of relevant to this story is we overthrew the democratically elected government of Ukraine in 2014 to kick off sort of the modern era of the Ukraine-Russia conflict. There was a president in power there in Ukraine named Viktor Yanukovych, who had rejected a trade deal that the IMF had wanted him to sign, which would have effectively forfeited the economic sovereignty of Ukraine to the Euro-Atlantic axis. And he signed a trade deal with Russia at that time. And this was essentially a stab in the back, it was perceived by the US State Department and the UK Foreign Office and the rest of the Brussels establishment in NATO. And so we activated a rent-a-riot mob, a sort of January 6th style insurrection, if you will, to get the Ukrainian civil society groups that had received $5 billion in State Department US aid and CIA cutout money through the National Endowment for Democracy to run that democratically elected president, Viktor Yanukovych, in Ukraine out of office and to install a new president in Ukraine who would be more pliable to so-called, you know, U.S. interests. And I'm not even saying this pejoratively. This is just a factual description of what happened. Victoria Nuland, the head of the U.S. Embassy there in Ukraine, even confessed to this $5 billion being pumped in. And she was personally handing out cookies and water bottles during the Maidan Revolution, then was caught on a hot mic with Jeff Pyatt from the State Department as well, handpicking the new installed Ukrainian government. Yatsenyuk, the new president after 2014, was not elected by the Ukrainian people. He was selected by the U.S. State Department, and that was even, again, caught on hot mic. So whenever the State Department gives $5 billion to a network of NGOs, media, network of so-called independent media institutions and civil society folks and NGOs set up to form these renta riots, they don't just give $5 billion and leave. They effectively shepherd that money through CIA intermediaries. The CIA, the Pentagon, and the State Department all always move as one through the interagency process. There's a much bigger story here around the economics of Ukraine and the European gas market, which runs through this whole story. But essentially, the CIA was instrumental in actually orchestrating the overthrow of the Ukrainian government in 2014. And then this new New York Times piece is fascinating with its details, but it sort of starts the story right after the coup. And even then, you know, the details are quite damning, but I can pause there.
No, actually, I do want you to pause there. We'll move forward with some more with Victoria Nuland and others. I want to circle back to where you began about how we felt knifed in the back. He says no to the IMF. He says no, he signs a deal with Russia. Were we knifed in the back?
Well, this is what the official sort of story is from the State Department. I mean, Viktor Yanukovych had signed multiple corporate deals with U.S. companies, including a $10 billion deal with Chevron, between Chevron and the Ukrainian gas giant Naftogaz. But there has been a long play here to privatize Naftogaz, sell it off to, and I'm not being hyperbolic when I say this, but to literally George Soros, as well as other London financiers like Bill Browder, to privatize that natural gas company and turn it over to the foreign direct investment of Wall Street in London. And so there had been plenty of economic deals that Yanukovych had been involved with on the US side, but he thought that trade deal was too much, that would have, again, sort of forced this mass privatization to the IMF, and he signed with Russia. And so we sort of paint him as this kind of dictatorial Russian puppet, but the fact is, at that time, before Eastern Ukraine broke away, Ukraine was split. All of eastern Ukraine was effectively ethnic Russians. And so Ukraine's internal politics reflected a very complex tightrope walk between the eastern and western powers. And they had given much to the western powers as NATO was attempting to fold Ukraine into it, as they declared in 2008. But that trade deal was perceived as too much, and we thought we could get away with it. The CIA and the State Department and the Pentagon, none of them were expecting the counter coup that ensued when Crimea broke off and then voted in an independent referendum to join the Russian Federation, and when both of the major provinces in the Donbass essentially declared themselves breakaway states and were militarily backstopped by Russia. The U.S. at that point had never really prepared for a kind of fiscal conflict with Russia, and so we're woefully unprepared for this counteroffensive, this Kiev-fronted, but, you know, U.S. and London-backed military excursion to reconquer those territories. That's what the CIA was doing from 2014 through 2022. These military bases that are referenced in the New York Times piece is completely omit the fact that we were funding and financing through military aid and through all manner humanitarian aid that goes into clandestine operations. We were militarily backing the Kiev government's military reconquest of the Donbass after they broke away in 2014. The New York Times leaves that out because it's unfortunately does not paint a very pretty picture of U.S. diplomacy in the years preceding the 2022 conflict.
Mike, before we get into more specifics on a macro level, why are we so in love, or I should say involved, with this area, with this region? It's a former Soviet state. They're always fighting each other, killing each other. This territory, that territory, this guy owns this, that guy owns that. And yet, I'm listening to you here, and I've been doing a bunch of reading on this for at least a decade. It looks like we've been obsessed with this place. What am I missing?
Well, you know the movie, the river, a river runs through it. Well, in Ukraine, the energy runs through it. To answer this story fully, you know, requires sort of a long scope over the role of military and energy in geopolitics. But, you know, the sort of short version of it is Russia was a colony of the U.S. from 1991 to 1998 during the Yeltsin years. Putin rose to power in sort of the ash heap of the Soviet empire at a time when its stock market had fallen to something like 5% of what it once was. And having sort of the U.S. London access privatized and sell off almost all of the key assets held by the Soviet government during the communist era. And the only two things that Putin had to rise to prominence again after 1998 were the fact that Gazprom and the Russian gas market were still the largest company in the world, largest company. And that was because the entire Russian economy essentially ran on Russian energy exports to Europe, which runs through Ukraine. It also runs to Germany through the Nord Stream pipelines, but maybe that's a story for another day. But essentially, the Ukraine is the portal into Europe. And Russia's entire economy is based on being able to sell its energy to Europe, or at least it was before 2022. And so if you could get Russia off of the European energy market, if you could kick Russia from Ukraine, then you could bankrupt Russia. And if you bankrupt Russia, you also take them out militarily. Russia opposes the U.S. militarily in almost every region on the face of the globe. I mean, the reason, you know, the President Obama did a land invasion of Syria, and he was only repelled because of Russian military backstopping of the Syrian government through the S-400 missile systems and others. Russia also has a robust arms industry. It's sort of their second export other than energy to all over Africa and Latin America, providing arms to groups that are being essentially locked in a destabilization conflict with Pentagon-backed forces. So if you can kill Russian energy, you kill Russian military. And so there's a lot of upsides from the foreign policy perspectives, establishment's perspective, to kill Russian gas and then have that essentially fall to U.S. companies. This is classic sort of U.S. diplomacy from the 20th century. But you have to remember, Russia and that whole Eurasian mantle there is something like two-thirds of the entire world's hydrocarbons. If you kick Russia out, now we control basically everything from the Black Sea to the Caspian Sea. Everything in from Georgia and Azerbaijan essentially falls into our grasp as well. So if you can kick Russia from Ukraine, you basically win the entire Eurasian continent, as well as unfettered militarism around the world. So there's a million reasons to do it. And the fact that you essentially rob them in the process by stealing $1 trillion worth of energy market proceeds by having U.S. companies like Chevron, Exxon, Halliburton, Shell in London take over the market through LNG of what Russia used to have through Gazprom. All of that you would say is, you'd make the argument is just classic 20th century diplomacy with how we built our middle class by doing this to every other country during the Cold War. But we were not expecting this sort of robust military response from Russia, and it has now sort of put the question to a head in terms of how far the U.S. is willing to go to do its traditional empire building.
Is Russia going to win? I get some mixed reports on this, but obviously a lot of this stuff is going to be resolved by whoever wins this Russia-Ukraine dust-up. What's happening now, Mike?
Well, it's hard to penetrate the fog of war there. I mean, obviously things do not look good right now from the U.S. State Department's perspective. There was, after losing a very significant amount of territory in Ukraine, not the commercial sort of side of Ukraine, which is Western Ukraine and Kiev, but the eastern portion of Ukraine, which has all of the shale. This is a very important point. Burisma's gas rights and NAFTA gas's hold, their basically market potential was being able to mine the shale that's east of the Dnieper River there. Well, that is now militarily occupied by Russia. So all of the tens of billions of dollars of deals that were signed by U.S. and London companies to exploit those natural resources are now under the military protection and geographic control of Russia. And that, like a pit bull, does not appear to be loosening anytime soon. I think what the State Department is ultimately going to try to angle to do is to use infusions of another, probably $1 trillion worth of U.S. taxpayer money over the next several years to bring things to an effective standstill and not lose any more territory. I think that's the only hope at this point. And then basically strike some sort of peace deal, ceasefire on semi-favorable grounds, and then effectively upscale the CIA's role to be able to, in a cloak and dagger clandestine fashion, walk back on the signed deal that they plan to make to take the country back while Russia isn't looking.
Good grief. Mike, that was friggin' awesome, man. Come back soon. I appreciate it. What a mess. But interesting perspective, right? History didn't start yesterday. There's a long history there. All right. Let's talk about, just really briefly, something that's fascinating about the 2024 election. Before we get to that, that's a lot of international monetary fund talk and London talk, and it's a long way of saying there are some very bad people who run this planet right now, especially Western civilization, people who do not have our best interests at heart. They have their best interests at heart. And so we have to take steps, all of us, to protect ourselves from our own people. I know that sucks, but that's where we're at. I don't tell you to buy gold or silver from Oxford Gold Group because I like the shine of it. I tell you that because precious metals are the only way to keep yourself financially safe from these horrible people. They're destroying the dollar. They're not even pretending like they're gonna stop. They're not. They're gonna wreck your retirement too. Let Oxford Gold Group get some precious metals in there as well. Call 833-995-GOLD, all right? They will take care of you. My family goes there. My friends go there. It's the only place I will go. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something interesting took place last night, and it's setting up for something interesting that a bunch of people have seen coming in the 2024 general election. When I say interesting, it could be wonderful, it could be horrible. So allow me to lay this out there, and let me clarify before I say anything here. What I'm about to say very well may offend you. If you get offended by anything I'm about to say, remember, I don't care, all right? What I'm about to tell you is the truth. The American people, in general, do not like the Democrat nominee or the Republican nominee, Joe Biden, Donald Trump. I realize we're talking about presumptive nominees here. I'm not talking about you, so do not send me your stupid email. I love Trump. Stop. The American people don't like either of them. Their unfavorables are both through the roof. Their favorables are both in the toilet for obviously very, very different reasons, and a lot of it's kind of crappy reasons, but it doesn't matter. The American people do not like them. And there's something else happening, and it's odd. You're seeing the dislike of the candidates from within their own party, and it's something people aren't discussing here in the primary process. Donald Trump is running away with the Republican nomination. He's the most popular Republican. Yes, all that stuff is true. Half Republicans, 40% of Republicans are consistently still voting against Donald Trump in the primaries. Does that translate to the general? How much of the GOP base does he lose? And Joe Biden, what happened yesterday in Michigan is stunning. There was a Democrat primary in Michigan yesterday. Over 100,000, actually over 140,000 Democrats showed up in the primary and voted uncommitted. And so, look, we'll get to Rashida Tlaib maybe in a second, but I just want to lay this out for you.
Remember, in November, it's going to be all about coalition building. Trump's going to be, how many votes can I bring in? Biden's going to be, how many Democrat votes can I bring in? How many votes can I bring in? They're both going to try to build this coalition or that coalition. How much of each party's base will either of those guys lose? Because the answer to that question may very well decide the general election in November. It's crazy, right? And some Republicans hate Trump for a variety of reasons. If you'd like to know why Democrats, many of them hate Biden, here's Rashida Tlaib.
Everyone, it's Rashida. I was proud today to walk in and pull a Democratic ballot and vote uncommitted. We must protect our democracy. We must make sure that our government is about us, about the people. When 74% of Democrats in Michigan support a ceasefire, yet President Biden is not hearing us. This is the way we can use our democracy to say, listen, listen to Michigan. Listen to the families right now that have been directly impacted, but also listen to the majority of Americans who are saying enough. No more wars. No more using our dollars to fund a genocide.
It's going to be interesting to see which party's candidate can corral the most of his voters in November. Interesting. Maybe horrifying, depending on how it turns out, but interesting. Anyway, enough. Alex Clark joins us next.
While 2019 was not that long ago, you might remember the dynamic we were living in the late teens in this country, where you had the President of the United States speaking in the most vile terms about people who were foreign born. And you had that notion metastasizing in places like Charlottesville.
This is an invasion! When I was younger, I was a criminal. And you know what I thought about doing? Crossing the border to Mexico to get away from my crimes!
Son, I'm going to ask you to leave.
Jesus Christ, he saved me, and I no longer live that lawless life, which you do!
What we wish to do is dignify everybody's humanity.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word. one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's nothing in that resolution.
No, that's not the wall. You cannot uphold the law, not your feelings or nor your opinion.
Chief Editor,
no, sir. You're talking BS to us right now.
That was the mayor of Athens giving a press conference about the 22-year-old young lady murdered, talking about Donald Trump. Joining me now, Alex Clark, host of The Spillover with Alex Clark. Alex, I don't think people have really accepted how truly evil these politicians are. They still look at that gigantic ball of soy and they just think he's naive or just kind of maybe a little bit of a dork. But the truth is, that guy doesn't care if American women get murdered. In fact, he's fine with it. They kind of deserve it in his mind. That's how these people think.
There is no America at this point, in my opinion. It's honestly terrifying. I cannot believe that we are at this place where we are allowing this kind of stuff to go on in the sake of diversity and inclusion. We just need to let people pillage, rape, murder our women. Apparently, that's how we're going to get true inclusivity in this country. It's unreal.
Alex, I've talked about this with other female guests I've had on in the wake of this, but I might as well talk to you about it as well. Doing the dad Jesse thing, it's not safe anymore in this country for women to work out outside alone. I know that's freaking awful and that's unfair and it's horrible, but that's the truth. When you allow 8 million new criminals into your country, women are going to have to start adjusting how they live, and that's just the way it's got to be now.
We actually have a significant problem going on with the crime coming in from illegal immigrants. But here's the other thing, and this happened an exit down from Scottsdale, Arizona. There was a woman who was jogging 9 a.m. on a Friday morning about exactly a year ago, and there was a guy who had been watching her pretty regularly do her little run, and he had been recently announcing to people that he was using non-binary they, them pronouns. And this is he is a decent looking guy in his early 20s. I believe he was 22 years old, mixed race, attractive guy that like you would see at a bar, and he's not scary looking or anything, a normal kid. He announced that he was using they, them pronouns. He had recently been fired from his job for how violent he was getting towards women at work. And he decided, he told the police, to murder this woman who lived right down the street from me last year because he wanted to be her. She was a 29-year-old drop dead blonde girl. She looked like Barbie. And he wished that what she had naturally, he could have. So you've got this skyrocketing crime coming in from illegals, which is fantastic. I'm obviously being sarcastic. You have that going on. And then you also have the mental illness and the trans violence, non-binary gender violence stuff that we're seeing all of a sudden, which nobody wants to talk about either of these issues. And they are very, very serious.
Oh, they are. It's freaking horrible. And at least Axios has identified the true problem out there. This is a direct quote. If America were dominated by old, white, election-denying Christians who didn't go to college, Trump would win the general election in a landslide. Alex, I do want to applaud the American communists for this. At least they're clear-eyed and very vocal about who they think their enemies are. I wish the right would do the same.
We should do the same. This article is such a brain-dead nothing burger. I could plug in any group in this formula. and say any given candidate, age yoga teachers, Marianne Williamson would win the general election in a landslide. Or how about if America were dominated by mystery solving teenagers, Scooby-Doo would win the general election in a landslide. If America were dominated by black people, Michelle Obama would probably win the general election in a landslide. I could do this all day. The point is America isn't dominated by any one group. The election, anyone's game. This article from Axios is so stupid and just, I don't even know what. It's supposed to fearmonger their reader base. But they also bring up that, you know, they're saying this, Trump would win because we've got this slew of election deniers or whatever. Election denying is the left's new number one dig they love to use against conservatives, right? We keep seeing that you guys are election deniers. But they never seem to have a problem with that themselves in 2000, 2004, or 2016. Like usual, it's only okay when they do it. So I'm sick of hearing that trope.
Alex, I appreciate you so much. All right. We have Lighten the Mood coming up next. You know what we need to do more for Lighten the Mood videos? Just innocent stuff that puts a smile on your face. All the news is so yucky and heavy, right?
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kids outside shooting hoops. Band cruises by. Kid sinks one. Gets the ovation. I'm sorry. That's awesome. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.